I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Sinner After Show. We are covering Season 3, Episode 4. Such a wild, wild episode. I'm Emily Fay, one of your hosts for today. we're going to give all of our thoughts on this episode, talk about the most sinister moment. We're going to break it all down here, but luckily I am in a room full of sinister other hosts.
Very true.
I am. To my far, far left, I have Ashley Dior Jones.
Hi, guys.
Who is our resident scaredy cat and future Live with Ryan co-host.
Yep.
And, to her right, I have Nathaniel Nate Harris, who is our drama queen and self-appointed FBI director for this after show.
I am. Okay. Sorry, I am.
And we have an additional host today. I'm so excited to have her back, Yvette Sanchez.
Hello.
This is the first time we're happy family.
I know. We have everyone together. Wow.
That's awesome.
And you have your own sixth sense, and you're going to use that to summon some powers to learn more for this after show. We're going to learn everything.
Yes, you're going to learn all my cool little...
You're going to help us.
All my little
help
spooky
us crack, crack the code of this episode and the whole season of The Sinner.
Yes.
Because I feel like we haven't figured it out yet.
No. I feel like it throws you for a loop almost every time.
That's right.
It does,
that's
right?
Why we love it.
So this episode was very different than last week. We have James kind of totally taken over the city. What are your overall thoughts?
Well, I thought this episode, honestly, starting off, I was like, wah, wah. I wanted like more action, more, I don't know, suspense. But then when it got to the end with that crazy, crazy car ride and car chase, I was like, okay, we're going, we're rolling. There's that sinister craziness I was looking for. But, you know, I thought it was a good episode. I'm excited to chat about it and see what you guys think. But, I liked it.
Yeah,
Nate, what do you think? You loved it?
I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, you loved this topic of death, and like you were all in it.
He's all about that.
Yeah, he's all about it.
All about it.
I mean, again, I love the creativity of these directors and these writers of how they throw us from the loop, like you just said. Like, I'm so lost from the first episode. I always feel like I know exactly what's going to happen, but they're throwing
but
us for a loop.
Don't.
Every single one. You know, I have no idea. I still don't know who's bad. Jamie brought up Sonya, and he said Sonya has nothing to do with it, but I still don't believe him in that situation. So, but I did like how Jamie was bringing up this death thing, and like, he's kind of digging deeper of what us as human beings actually are and how we feel and how we think. And like,
you got really philosophical.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
sorry.
He goes there.
Philosophical themes in this episode.
Yeah.
And even last week, it was really heavy. And so we're going to dive into that. Yvette, what are your first thoughts on this episode?
I mean, I thought it was very... It was weird. It was weird. Just a lot of things were weird, and they don't add up. Maybe, like, from our perspective, like, from the outside looking in, like, you're not going through it, you're not in it. But I was just like, I'm watching it, and I'm like, are we watching something that has to do with the cult? Are we watching an initiation of something? Are, you know, like, what is this?
What's going on?
I kind of got, I really, really got, like, initiation / cult vibes.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, there was moments.
Well, when they kept flashing back.
Exactly, yeah. And I think this whole episode kind of brought up that kind of more questions than we have answers for.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about that. And maybe you guys have answers to them that we haven't talked about.
Maybe we do.
So we open up with James kind of on the loose in the city. And the police are trying to track his cell phone. They're worried because, again, last episode, he escaped from the mental hospital.
Right.
He was like, nope, I'm not going to get admitted, you know, and just went off. Ambrose tracks him down and finds him on the roof of Sabiato Restaurant, which is, if you guys remember, it's this, like, same restaurant from previous episodes. Mm-hmm. So he's on the roof of this hotel, and Ambrose confronts him. And this was a really intense way to start the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this discussion about fate, and that Nick was, like, the most honest person that James has known. And it's about facing death and taking chances. What do you guys think about this?
I thought it was I thought it was really interesting when Jamie talked about, like, fate is the connection. Mm-hmm. Like, I never really thought about life in those parameters. Like, who would have thought that we are just, like, out here living this life and whatever happens, happens, mm-hmm. and the things that we are keeping ourselves from could be, you know, our destiny in so many ways. It really, that part really opened up my eyes to be like, oh, okay, mm-hmm. I could see how someone would be curious to live outside of the, you know, normal realms that, you know, we are accustomed to living to. And Jamie's interesting for wanting to push those limits. I wouldn't want to push those limits.
He's pushing it. I mean,
personally,
he had the fortune teller kind of origami in his hand. Right. And he was like, well, pick a color and whatever happens, I'm going to jump.
Right. Like putting your whole life in the hands of your paper.
What do you think?
I mean, I remember having those fortune tellers.
And I know.
I think you believe it when it's like something very positive in your mm-hmm. mind. You know what I mean? When it's something you really, really want, but you just want something to reassure you to do it. Like, yeah. But I think he's also gotten to the point where it's almost funny because I see it as, like, since Nick's dead, he no longer really wants to be around since he's dead, but yet he made it seem from, like, the first episode on, like, him being in his life was a burden. So it's kind of gone from you, like, I wanted you out of my life, mm-hmm. you're a burden being here, I don't like you around, to I don't want to be around because you're not around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But James still has this attachment to him, and this episode so really kind weird. Of dives deeper into it.
That's why I'm like,
it.
That's so weird, because he mm-hmm. made it seem so much like, I want nothing to do yeah. with you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's so interesting that you bring that up, because we've been seeing this preview mm-hmm. of him almost stepping off, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But in the previous previews that we've been seeing, some of them we see Nick there, like, kind of telling him to jump off. And then we see Ambrose from the background. But, like, when we actually see the scene, Nick isn't there. But is he actually there in Jamie's perspective? He might be there. So he may be still guiding him to want to jump off. And so
that's a bad spirit.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that's a bad
spirit that's leading to death.
No, but is he always there, though? Because even when they're in that little cult situation later on in the episode, it's like the guy was like, someone's right there.
Well, he said he's right when he was talking to the medium, he's like, he's right there with you. He's attached to you.
So, but it's also interesting because at first, back to them always throwing us for a loop, we thought mm-hmm. that he wanted to get so far away from Nick. But right. even after we see at the end of the episode when he's going away, it's like, yeah. I don't want you to die. Like, he actually wants Nick
well,
in his life.
And what's interesting is, in the spiritual world, they say that ghosts can get attached to people in the living world. Mm-hmm. And so, that might be a whole other level yeah. that we're not even quite exploring yet.
And they usually say when they attach to you, it's because they mm-hmm. either have something they didn't resolve,
unfinished
they went
business.
Over uneasy, like, mm-hmm. they don't want to... they basically say when they're, like, bothered... Like, if there's things being thrown around, giving you bad thoughts, very negative, that mm-hmm. means that, one, that's not a good spirit. Two, they're not resting easy, and they're trying to tell you something. So, obviously, yeah. I mean, Nick, we all know he ain't resting too easy.
Yeah. Right.
But it's like, I just don't know. Like, I feel like Jamie almost knows, like, what he's going through. He's, like, conscious about what's happening, but in his subconscious, he wants something else. Like, he wants a different outcome from what he's trying to get out of or get out of it. It's really weird.
Ultimately, I feel like he sees the world completely differently. Like, he's in a whole different realm that everyone else is, mm-hmm. and he wants people to see it that way. And so that's why now that he's with Ambrose and he's trying to reach out to people and he's trying to go through that scene where he's like, I can prove to you, you mm-hmm. know, what people really want and what they really feel, but they're going to deny it, but this is the reality of it. So I just think that he's in a different realm and he sees the world from, like, a different contextual view, and he wishes everyone else can see it as well. That's why he started asking, are you lonely? Mm-hmm. Do you ever feel lonely? It's not really, like, necessarily being alone. But it's like, you can be here if you're viewing the world in a certain way and everyone can't understand you and you can't understand anyone else. You're going to feel lonely. So I'm on his side now.
Yeah. No, I mean, it definitely brings up, I know a lot of fans and comments in previous episodes were dealing with, like, the mental health issue. Mm-hmm. And is it all in his head? Is there a spiritual side to it? And
here's my thing, and I've always thought about this because I like to think that I'm in tune with my other side. Mm-hmm. Now, what differentiates from I have this gift to I have a mental disorder? Like, I've heard that. I mean, I've grown up. I'm Cuban. I've grown up all around it. I've heard mm-hmm. people that have that gift. They could talk to spirits. They can see things. They've told me things, and it's like, So what's the difference? You know what I mean? Like, someone says that they see someone, they hear people, but...
Like, where's that line?
Well, I think it kind of, when he touches on, he said something about what is reality. Like, reality is something that's been created. He said something like that. Something about reality. But in reality, I think in those situations, we all are connected to the spiritual world. Some of us, we don't get connected because we're so focused on social media. I'm just
Right. Yeah, we're so detached.
Yeah, like we're so detached from it, but we all can. So when someone, again, can touch that and they bring it to someone, like I'll just use you for an example, and you can't, you're like, what? You can, you're in touch with your dad who passed away? You know, how can you do that? You're crazy. You're mentally... You know, because now we've pushed this mental health agenda, and it's like now the people who feel spirituality, you're the crazy ones, but in reality, they may be the ones who are living.
But not to say that there isn't a mental health issue.
Oh, no, definitely.
You know what
definitely.
I mean? Yeah. It's just like there obviously is something, and there's people that have mental health problems, but it's just, it's so weird because I really feel it just has all to do with your background and your core. From, like, where you're coming from, because, like, the other night, like, I felt like someone was hugging me in my bed, and I did not freak out. Okay. But when I told that to someone, they're like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
When I said that to my family, they were like, oh, that's probably your grandpa.
Yeah.
That's someone, so, like, things like that. Yeah. Like, you know, some people... Then again, I could have been half asleep and not just even dreaming. Really realizing, really
so
dreaming. So.
We have a lot of things that happen in this episode.
Exactly.
A lot of underlying, you know, reasons for things to happen, and the, we're not sure whether it's spiritual, whether it's a mental disorder. We're all here to talk about it. Mm-hmm. So one of the biggest flashbacks. There was a lot of flashbacks in this episode, but there was this episode at the grave. With Nick and James, and they're talking about, like, someone's life, and talking about how pretty much that Nick, it references that Nick perhaps has taken someone's life before.
Right.
And we don't know who that is yet. And James freaks out and doesn't want to kill someone. And so they have this kind of really intense moment. Yvette, what do you think about this moment at the grave?
That moment at the grave, I think that's where I really got that whole, like, cult vibe, because he's like you said, it preferences that he has done it, you know, he has done something. He's like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to kill just a random person. But at the same time, he's like, if you can't, did he say, like, you can let go or you'll...
Yeah, he talks about life eats life.
Yeah, life eats life. Like, you can let go. So it's almost like... You know, the...
But you have to face death in the face.
The conception of, like, almost like an eye for an eye. You know, life eats life is almost like an eye for an eye. Mm-hmm. And like everyone says, an eye for an eye makes the world go blind. But I just thought it was, like, it was so weird that it was, like, it just gave me this vibe. Like, he was telling him, like, if you don't do this, you can't let go of this. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, what is that other thing
that
he's trying to let go of if he doesn't do this or if he does or doesn't?
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's a good point that he was talking about. Once you do this, you'll feel free. And so, and that's James's way out. So what do you guys think of that? What is that freeness? What does that mean to get out?
I think the freeness he's talking about is, he mentioned it a couple times, is escaping fear and, like, getting past that block of what fear does to us, how it can, you know, stop us from reaching our full potential, how it can keep us from, you know, hurting ourselves or hurting others, or, you know, on the opposite end of that, making ourselves better, making others better. I think that's kind of a really big theme in this episode is fear and how we deal with it, how it has so much of a power over us and how we just interact in our everyday lives, and, like, why? Like, what is fear really? You know, like, what does that really mean? Like, how can we unpack that and get to the bottom of it and see what it really is that, you know, that we need to do to meet our full potential?
And
which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, and different people have different levels of fear, and, like, how far will you go to face your fear?
Right. Like,
so that brings up a lot. Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like crippling fear. Like, you know, there's those people that have those phobias. Like, I can't cross a bridge. I can't be in a... you know, elevator that has the number 13.
I can't jump out of planes.
You know.
Same.
Yeah. But, it's really weird that that's the way. But my thing is, it's really weird how they're going towards, like, this is how you face your fear. So, like, what is his fear exactly? Mm-hmm. To me, it's like, okay, so your fear is death. Mm-hmm. So how do you confront it? You kill someone or you see someone die? Because I think that's when towards the end of the episode,
That's what I felt.
You're almost there. So he's like, I was like, is he trying to tell him like you're almost facing your fear by watching me die?
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what I felt.
Right?
That's exactly what I thought.
And
I was
like, you're almost there. And then he's like, it's in my pocket. And I'm like, boy, what's in your pocket?
Exactly. Who knows?
Was
it
the phone or was it? So I thought it was either the phone. Was the phone out yet? Or it was the fortune teller? The fortune cookie, the fortune origami.
I don't know.
Or maybe he was referencing something else. And like
that was like the last flashback. Referencing a flashback. Because sometimes people are in a different state when they're in their last few minutes. So.
And they start saying like really...
Especially if there's so much trauma.
Right. Really random things that don't make sense. They're just like... in my back pocket.
Anyway, Nate, what did you think of this scene?
Well, like you talk about fear, I don't think it's anything in particular that is his fear. I think they're talking about defeating fear in general.
Okay.
Us as human beings, we have a natural self-preservation to us. So fear is really just... Fear and excitement are the same emotions, but we use fear when we're trying to protect ourselves or whatever
it
may be.
Trying to block us off from...
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it comes to death, I am not someone who likes death, you know, but I'm someone who believes in, and I'm not there yet, that we need to confront death and talk about death more often. None of us have died. We don't know what's actually on the other side. But I try to think, like, when someone dies and they go to the other side, and whatever you believe and whatever your spiritual life is or whatever your religion is, I believe that we go to somewhere that's actually better than here on Earth.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So when someone dies and we're mourning and we're so hurt about that person, are we mourning because we're sad that that person isn't here, or are we mourning because that person, we feel bad for that person that died?
I think it's, you know, you're mourning because, one, they're not here and you might have had, like, an attachment. Yeah. They're not physically here, so, like, you can't see them, you can't talk to them. But I think there's also a fear of no matter how much, like you said, no matter what religion, whatever you believe, no matter how much you believe, you don't know what is on. So you don't know technically where they are.
It's the fear of the unknown.
Exactly.
The fear of the unknown.
Exactly.
Right.
Death might be something that is the most beautiful thing that can happen. So, like, when you think of when I think of someone passing away, and I believe that it's something more beautiful than here on Earth, we're so sad and like, oh, it's so sad that that God took them away or whatnot. But it's like, that was probably the best thing for that person. And they're over there like, I'm so happy that happened. You know, and so when we're confronting death in general, because typically fear is trying to prevent us from dying. I know we fear small things like maybe, you know, going into a business meeting or something of that nature.
Right.
But it's really fear comes from, we just want to prevent ourselves from dying. But what if death is something good? So maybe that's what they're trying to tell him. If you confront this death thing...
I don't feel anything. I'm good. Yeah, I mean, it depends.
We're getting deep.
Yeah. I know. I just think that he's like, if we confront death, then you confront fear.
Yeah.
And so when they're going on the car chase, I don't think he's trying to die, but it's like, if I can get through this... There's nothing else that I can worry about.
I mean, but death
about.
Is inevitable.
Exactly.
So, like, why?
Chase it?
Why? Like, it's going to happen.
Yeah,
why put yourself and others in danger?
Like,
why
try to see
I don't
if
think
you
that's
can...
up to you.
But like, I think that's the point.
So it also goes back to last week's episode where we were talking about the Ubermensch of the superhuman, this human that thinks there's, like, a superhuman in contrast to others, and that has these like rules and values that are different and that are superior. So when we take that ideology and Nietzsche's like philosophy on that, this kind of fits within that because they're creating rules for themselves that don't necessarily apply in this world that we're in and with everyone else.
Right.
So again, like taking chances, kind of confronting death and your own fate is a huge theme in this episode. And let's get to this party scene. So,
there you go.
That's one. So, James and Ambrose kind of befriend these two guys and two women at the bar, at the restaurant that they're at. And then they're like, well, we're gonna like make it even better, this party, and we're gonna take it elsewhere. So, they go to
after party.
They go to this guy's apartment, I'm assuming.
Right.
I think it was a hotel.
It was a hotel. And and they're all kind of like in their little, you know, the couples are kind of coupled together.
Right.
And Ambrose is like sober as
can't wait to see
sober as a cucumber.
Uncle Harry.
And you can see James is like so uncomfortable. Jamie's just like having a really tough time, and he goes into this conversation about that we're all scared. We're like this yawning void. He wants to be right there with you, mm-hmm. talking to this couple. Mm-hmm. It was... He kind of freaked everyone out in this room.
Yeah, yes. That's kind of like when intense. Like you're at a party and that one mm-hmm. weirdo just comes in and you're just like, you're killing the vibe of everyone. Like, we're here to do one thing. Mm-hmm. Why are you bringing up this other yes. thing? And then I think mm-hmm. Amro's standing in the corner just like...
Just being that mm-hmm. creepy Uncle Harry.
Creepy, you know, the creepy, you know, I still look at you and I think Casper. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, yo, that's Casper's, like, wannabe father-in-law over there.
Ghosts.
Speaking of ghosts, yeah.
See, but they're not dealing with no friendly ghosts.
No,
what I did there.
Yeah. So again, Harry's, or Jamie's talking about how there's, like, that they're trying too hard, that there's mm-hmm. this effort yes. that they're pushing in this kind of moment that he kind of devised, kind of created right. by inviting them and kind of hanging out with them, that they're trying to escape something mm-hmm. by them trying so hard and like creating this moment.
That's usually why people do drugs exactly. and alcohol.
Of course. They're yeah. trying definitely to escape.
Exactly.
100%.
So Jamie has this moment mm-hmm. and I think we all freaked out. I think Nate, you were okay, but the three of us, we were freaking out mm-hmm. because Jamie has this moment that we thought was super real where he attacks this dude with a knife.
Right.
And like, and then Ambrose tries to protect and then shoots the girl and then there's just blood everywhere.
There's something it's wrong chaos. With me because when I saw him just go for the throat, I was like, that was a clean flip right there. And then, you know, the gun came out and all this and I'm just yeah, like... Yeah.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
And then he snapped out of it. James, like, twice. Yeah. He snapped out of like, it. Mm. And it was like he imagined it mm-hmm. as if it was real. So what mm-hmm. what do you think about this moment? What is this break? Is it a break in reality? Is it a hallucination? Is it a
I think it's
a
something
wish?
He wanted to do.
It's yeah. what he wanted to do.
You yeah. know how when you're in those situations when you're mm-hmm. like, I wish I could just... You know,
and well, I don't want to do that to anyone.
Well, yeah, that's going a little far. But we all have those moments when we're just like, I wish I could just
right, hit someone.
You know, I think that's yeah. all it was.
I had that moment earlier today.
Yeah, I was driving.
Well, no, not even driving. I was watching this documentary on Netflix about Gabriel Fernandez, and I was like, oh, ooh, yeah. I was like, ooh, yes. if I could, ooh.
Yeah.
Well, I was like, if I could kill someone, it'd be now.
So you think it was just a moment of him? Because he's had these before.
Yes,
these
yes,
like
yes,
a moment
yes.
of rage.
Exactly,
a moment
of rage.
Kind of bubbles
and thinking,
up,
like,
and
where
then,
could this go? You mm-hmm. know, if I were to really, like, be true to myself and be in this moment,
okay,
this is what
okay,
would go
I
down.
I like that.
Yeah, but he chose
like
not
that.
To do it.
And Ambrose has this moment with Jamie and pretty much is so frustrated with him after this party because he's like, let's go, let's go.
Right.
He's like, you know what? If you're going to act out, just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay.
I was like, I don't know. Sometimes you don't want to push someone
you don't
like
push
that
someone.
And be like, just do it. Just do it. Be like, once you get to that mm-hmm. other one, like the other
yeah.
person's like, tell me one more time. Tell me one more time because I'm going
to
do
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and it's like, oh gosh, you just egged him on
right.
to do something.
Don't
and Jamie's
really.
Like, okay, cool, I'm going to do it. And, you know, they were talking about dark thoughts and how everyone has them, mm-hmm. which I know we've talked about before. So Jamie wants to go to this party. Sophie. So Sophie's
mm-hmm.
this
student,
former student that he just happens to run into mm-hmm. in the city, and he just wants to.
How much
so Jamie wants
happen?
To go to this party. How much the party happened?
No. How much did that he happen to run?
He
into?
Happened to run
like,
into.
Like I'm
her?
Waiting for a flashback for him to be like, oh, I tracked her and I saw
yeah,
her.
Yeah, maybe he was on the
very,
Facebook.
Gave me very you vibes. You
I
know,
did
like
stalker
like, definitely
totally
a little stalker.
That.
Like, I. But wasn't it from the like the first episode or, mm-hmm. that we had like a weird vibe about him, like how he was with his
yes.
students?
Absolutely.
Like,
yes.
why
yes.
are you see like?
And then they had to bring up, oh, everyone had a crush on you,
the Mr. B.
So
Mr.
is it his B. fault or is it their fault?
The students?
Are both parties at fault?
Are we going to go there?
We're not going to go there. We're going to pivot.
No, you know what? You know what? If we're going to be honest, sometimes teachers know when they're good looking, okay? People know when they're on their ugly day, on their bad day. They know when people are looking and not looking. Okay, so I'm sure there was days where he had a fight with his little wife and he would go there getting a little extra dressed up.
Well, also, they're in college, too, so.
Exactly. So a lot of those girls want to keep up their GPAs and they want a nice, good grade.
Get a little extra credit.
Okay, a little bit of extra credit.
All right, anyway, all right. We're going to move on.
I'm just saying. If we're going to throw that out there.
There's this party. Everyone seems to be having a great time. Mm-hmm. But Sophie, the former student is like, I want to show you something upstairs, and takes Jamie and Harry. Uncle Harry's like, I'm gonna follow you.
I'm gonna be the block.
Yeah, I want to see something.
I don't know what's happening, but I'm gonna follow. So they're up there, and there's this cult. Speaking of cult, I don't know what it is. It's a spiritual session. It's a.
I thought it was just like a psychic
therapy.
Thing.
I thought it was like a psychic thing.
Yeah, not too much of a cult. It was like a medium session where there's this. Spiritual advisor person that is talking and kind of talking through to these people. Mm-hmm. And Jamie's all in it and he jumps in. And then they have this moment where he's like, someone is totally attached to you. So were you freaked out by this? Did you think this moment was weird?
No, I didn't.
Nate, you thought it was weird?
I thought it was really weird, but I understood it. So I know why you're saying it's not weird, but I understood it because... I just feel like he like felt that energy. We are energy beings, and so when you know how to tap into that realm, like you feel
Jamie
that
did
energy.
Or the spiritual
probably everyone
medium.
Who was in that room probably
yeah.
had
yeah,
that.
It was probably like they thought, were all connected, you know,
and so it's easy to bring that strong energy in there. But it is weird that he actually identified and he described like you have someone right here. Then what shocked me was the fact that Jamie ran out. Like he's like got scared. He's like, no, I can't do this, and he just ran out.
Because like it got a little too real.
It got too real.
Like, you know, sometimes you know you're curious and you keep going, and, and when something gets too real, you're like, I gotta go.
Yeah. It got too
like,
real.
That
too
fear again. That fear it's comes fear, in and stops you.
And he was just so, and he might have been so overwhelmed, like feeling Nick. Mm-hmm. In that space and having someone else recognize it, because if you think about it, I feel like he's felt very alone in
that
space.
That's why he's gonna feel lonely.
Yeah, exactly. And that now that someone else felt that energy of Nick and felt that, oh, someone else is here with you.
Yeah,
that I think that freaked him out a little bit. So he goes off with Sophie and goes on a little drive, Fast and the Furious moment here, and he's talking about how. He wants this bonding activity, and he's like, okay, well, let's put everything on the same field. Let's play this game, but on a level, even field. And you're like, what is he talking about? And he's like, have you ever driven so fast and not stopped? Oops, not stopped. I'm so excited. I'm going to drive. And he goes, and he runs through lights, and it's very scary, and she's, like, screaming and, like, freaking out.
Right.
What do you think of this? Do you think this is what happened earlier with him and Nick?
Well, it kind of did, because remember he was telling him to slow down. Like he didn't like, you know, he didn't like that feeling. Mm-hmm. And I think in that, when you're in that situation and, you know, you can't control the steering wheel. So sometimes you're just like, can you please, like you're starting to grab everything because it's like, can you slow down? So I think... almost like he wanted to put someone in the same predicament that he was in at like not that long ago to see like maybe he wanted to see what Nick was feeling at that time, that adrenaline rush, like what was going through his mind. Is it going to go through my mind? I almost feel like we're going to start seeing things that he does little by little are going to be mimicking what Nick was doing in the last few moments just to see like where his head was at, because I feel like now what he's trying to do is, like, after he's gone, I'm trying to understand you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Nick talks about how he's like, it's your turn, you got to pass it on. So maybe that's a way that Jamie is passing it on.
I have to say, this scene infuriated me. Mm-hmm. Like, I was shaking. I was so angry. Like, if you want to mess around with your own life, go ahead.
But don't drag me into that.
You know, an innocent bystander. Yeah. Not only Sophie, but the other drivers on the road.
Exactly.
I was like, this is so wrong on so many levels. Mm-hmm. How dare you? Like, if you're gonna jump off a roof, jump off a roof,
yeah.
Right? Well, but you're not gonna put other people's lives in danger. I was really disappointed.
Yeah, and even Ambrose totally got, like. got involved, and they ended in the big spin out, which thankfully everyone was okay, but it could have ended deadly. Like, they could have all, they could have all died. Right. I mean, they were going like 100 plus.
Right.
So, Nate, what do you think about this?
Well, Ambrose shouldn't have followed him. That's his own fault. He put his own life back into danger for following him.
Well, he's a detective.
No, I know.
He
I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay. I was like, him and what's interesting is Vic kind of, his kind of partner had a side kind of behind the scenes role in this episode where there's phone calls, he's like doing surveillance, but tracking. He's tracking. Yeah. So he doesn't really, I wonder what this phone call meant. Cause we didn't really hear what that, what was on the other side.
Right.
But I do think, and I'm not going to get too deep on you guys this time, I promise. But back to the when you were talking about fate, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So again, back to this fear of death and also control. So now he's driving with this girl in the car. She has no control. So at this point, when they did it with Nick, Nick ended up dying. They didn't this time. So it gets to a point where it's like, it's not about preventing your death or even trying to accelerate your death. But if you can beat these things, if I can drive at 100 miles an hour and no matter what happens, this is not control. You can be relying on God. You can be relying on what else. Then when you bring it to something so simple as going into a job interview, you don't think about if you're going to fail or not. You just go. If you don't get the job, you don't get the job. It's not even about the control of trying to stress out about getting the job or
did
not.
Did he have to take it that far? No, just
but he
to
took
like
it so far.
No,
yeah.
I agree. I don't think he should have taken that far. I'm just saying.
But I
think that
what
they're trying
saying.
To do is
right.
like it's just that fear of like beating this death thing. Like, no, I don't agree. He should have went and did that. But I think that's what he's trying to conquer. Like, conquer the fear of death because we're not in control anyway. Because everything is based off of fate.
Yeah.
It's gonna happen. It's out of our control. So why do we try to control everything? Let's just let go and just live and whatever. Enjoy.
Like kind of a God complex, I think.
Yeah.
I think he continues to show.
And that Ubermensch is kind of like has a God God complex kind of written within it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're gonna get to our special segment.
Not to cut you off. I'm so sorry.
He's like, let me stop you right there.
He's like,
when he says the even playing field, because he was like, I had the power. And he was speaking from a perspective of he was the teacher, you were the student.
Mm-hmm.
But when he said even playing field, now that he's taking her on this journey, now that she is on the same level as him from the fear level or defeating death, or maybe even now she may be the next Ubermensch. I don't know how to ever say that word. Okay, that's all I need to add.
Maybe.
What?
Do you know? Because remember, he said keep them on the same playing level.
Keep on the same playing field.
But it would take like years and years to foster that kind of philosophy,
right?
I don't know.
Anyway, we are going to get to our special segment, which is what is the most sinister moment of the episode, which I think we talked about a little bit.
We did.
But what is it?
So the most sinister moment, obviously, was kidnapping Sophie and almost leading her to her death.
Mm-hmm.
I was completely infuriated by the scene. Only second to the end when our psychic gets killed, which was also pretty sinister. Like, this man with these gifts and he's just gonna die?
He didn't see that coming.
That's no fun. but I also wanted to shout out Kim Hart's organizing. She put a comment on our last week's episode at AfterBuzz TV, The Sinner, and I thought it was really interesting what she said. She said, maybe another way to feel alive is by doing something dangerous. So I think this is
think
definitely
really
a good
totally
tie-in
into this
scene in this episode. So thanks, Kim Hart's organizing, for giving us your thoughts. We are aligned. So thanks for watching.
Thanks, Kim.
Yay, thank you.
Yeah, that was a really good point.
Yeah.
A lot of people will do something that, you know, it's almost like the daredevil scenario. Like, they do it to feel alive because they might think that their life is not that interesting, or it's not
exactly
that eventful. So it's like, let me, it's almost like also like you do want to tell people, like, I have a story where I cheated death.
So we end this episode with kind of seeing a little bit more about Nick's death and kind of the conversation that they had during this moment. And he talks about promise me you'll keep going. And so it was an interesting version of events that we haven't seen before.
I just had a total flashback. Did you guys have you guys ever seen the movie Signs?
Yes.
No.
No. Have you?
No.
Yes. With
okay.
Yeah.
You know the part?
The wife that...
Where she's pinned to the,
yes,
the tree?
Yeah.
And she's like, keep swinging no matter what?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And then at the end of the movie,
he finds out that's why
he has to keep swinging.
Yes.
So I really want to know... Like,
so you think it's the past or you think it's the future moment that's going to happen?
I don't know, because he's like, just keep
going. So now we're getting
going,
into... Now we're going to get into predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I just freaked myself up.
I know.
That movie gave me my fear of aliens.
Chill. I know, your fear of aliens. So what... So real quick, what do you think? So you have... Do you have theories on what this last scene
I have a theory either, you know, the whole, like, in my pocket... Something's going to, like, connect to the pocket. Either he's going to remember something in his pocket, mm-hmm, he's going to have something in his pocket. Because, you know, they say, like, not everything's clear, but it has something to do within that realm. So there's, mm-hmm, going to be something, maybe there's going to be some type of evidence somewhere where it's going to be in someone's pocket, it's going to be in the back pocket, or someone's going to say, like, oh, I've got this in my back pocket. Like, something is going to happen within
with
that
the pocket.
Round.
With,
yes,
the
with
pocket.
The pocket.
With the pocket. With the pocket. Nate, quickly, what do you think is going to happen? Because we saw the preview.
What's my girl's name? The student's name. What's her
Sophie.
Name?
Sophie.
I think Sophie is the one who killed the psychic.
Oh, okay.
And
Ambrose is getting pinned for it in this next... is a suspect in
he
this
killed
next
her,
episode.
But because she thinks that... What Jamie did right after Jamie ran out, like, whatever she did, she went back and killed him. Because whatever that did, again, she's going to be a part of all this, too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Theory, because we're missing some characters in this episode. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
What do you think?
I'm thinking it's Jamie. I'm thinking Jamie killed the psychic because he has that ability to talk to people who have, you know, already crossed over. And I think he feels threatened by that. So, I think Jamie did it.
I'm on that one.
Interesting.
On that one.
We will see in next week's episode... So that wraps up our after show for The Sinner.
Woo!
Episode 4. This was so fantastic. All right, where can everyone find you?
Ashley Dior Jones. All platforms, I'm there.
Yay.
Royal Nate, R-O-Y-A-L, _. Don't forget the underscore.
Don't forget that underscore.
I almost got it.
All right, Matt, where can people find you?
Sports and Sass, 3 S's, the letter N. On all platforms.
Amazing. You can find me on all social media platforms at Emily May Heller. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's after show. We will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.